Hear the witness of the word. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12.
You are listening to Christian Radio.
Christian Radio.
It's time now to gather round for the Expounder Ministries Radio Bible Teaching Program, Walking in Simplicity, with your host, Brother Stephen Milhorn. Brother Stephen, an ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, welcomes you to a time of prayer and ministry of the Word. At the close of today's program, an address will be given to contact Brother Stephen. And now, let's seek the Lord for a taste of that wonderful manna that can only come from God's Holy Scriptures.
Hallelujah to God Almighty in the highest, and peace from God, love from God, mighty salvation, which only comes from above. Only the Lord gives us true peace, love, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is only by Him, the way, the truth, and the life, comes peace, comes salvation and eternal life. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Lord is the lawgiver. The Lord is the commandment giver. The Lord is the one who makes covenant with the people on the earth. He gives freely unto His people and to the whole world His Word, His Spirit. He makes Himself known. He makes His will known. He makes His character and person known. He makes His dwelling place in heaven known. He even told us how the earth and the stars were created. There's not one necessary thing that we don't know that God has not revealed to us. All are found in the Bible. All things can be known when a soul walks hand in hand with Him. He is to be loved. He is to be adored, worshipped. He is to be honored and respected. He is to be reverenced, and He is to be feared. But the Lord would ask America, "Where is my fear? Where is my respect, my reverence?" So many people utter blasphemous words against God, using His name in vain, using the name of the Lord Jesus, the only Savior from hell. They use His name irreverently and blasphemously as a cuss word. How ignorant can you be? The only one that can deliver you from the fires of hell. They blaspheme His worthy name, by the which you and I are called. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, has Ichabod be written over America? The glory is departed. The glory of God's rule, the glory of God's presence, the glory of God's provision and oversight, the glory that is all things about God and His theocracy over America. It has been spurned. It has been rejected. The only one who can provide for them, save them, bring them up into heaven. The majority of the American people have resisted, have rejected. They would rather have the glory depart, the Ichabod of America, than to have God rule over them. They truly want the desires of the flesh, the world, and the devil over that of God. But even God's people are slowly but surely turning apostate, becoming lukewarm. This ought not to be. So the Lord may ask America, "Where is my fear?" My beloved brothers and sisters, I do welcome you to the program today, the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen, and today we are going to talk about many scriptures, many of which you are familiar with, but it would seem the majority of believers have lost the fear of God. The glory of God's majesty and person is departing from the church. in favor of the world, and in favor of the lust of the flesh. But why bring this up now, as we see our nation heavily divided over the right to kill babies in the womb, and the Supreme Court, after 5 decades, have finally taken the first step to do the right thing? But it's only a first step, because abortion is still legal in some states. We need to see it illegal and not permitted within the boundary of our land. Why do they desire to do this? Because there is no fear of God to them. Now, I've heard all the preaching, my beloved, about the fear of the Lord, and it really doesn't mean fear, they will say, but only respect or reverence. And on the one hand, I will say that the spirit of fear that the devil brings, it does have torment, but there also is the fear of the Lord that goes beyond mere respect or reverence. And I'm sure that the people who translated the Bible knew the word respect or reverence when they were translating, and they still chose the word fear to describe it. If you think about our everyday lives, we can revere something or have respect unto it, like lightning or electricity or certain dangers. We can respect or revere it, but we don't have to love it. We don't have to obey it or worship it. And then there's God, who deserves our love. He deserves our worship, our respect, our reverence, but also the fear. There are consequences, my beloved, for not obeying the word of God and for not doing His will. If you remember back in Exodus, in chapter 20, verse 18 and onward, after God spoke to them from the holy mount, and after giving them the 10 commandments, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, that His fear may be before your faces, for the motive of sinning not. And if you sin uncontrollably and willfully after you have come to the knowledge of the truth, is there any more remaining sacrifice or covering for you? Why don't we have the fear of the Lord, my beloved? Is it not God who decides who goes up to heaven and who is thrust down to hell? So when the first covenant people were in the presence of Almighty God, they had the fear of the Lord, seeing His power and hearing His voice. Now, where did the term Ichabod come from? Where the glory has departed? As we look at Israel's checkered past, when they had seasons of following God and seasons of rebelling against God, how that He would turn them over to their enemies to drive them back to Him, because they were stiff-necked and rebellious. And in the days of Eli and his 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were killed in the battle with the Philistines, and the Ark of the Covenant was also taken. And when Eli heard this, in 1 Samuel 4, verse 17 and onward, when it was mentioned of the Ark of God, that Eli fell off from his seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he was a judge over Israel 40 years. But then Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, she was with child, ready to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, and the Ark of God is taken." Now we look at America today, my beloved, and can we not say the same thing? Is the glory of God in America? Is she retaining her Christian heritage? Or is she tearing herself away from the Judeo-Christian way, and once a secular way, a Lucifer satanic way, a New World Order way? Much of this is being led by the Democrat Party. Much of this is infiltration, and we see elements and vestiges of all these foreign entities, these enemies from without, in every department of our government, causing us to be changed into a communist model. We are losing our republic before our eyes, and at the same time, we're losing as a nation our respect, our reverence, our fear of the Lord. And why is this important, my beloved? Because God still judges nations. We are blood guilty from the sin of abortion. 60 million plus babies, their blood cries out from the earth for recompense, for vengeance, and we have not the fear of the Lord before our eyes. We have allowed homosexuals to have prominence, marriage, special rights, promotion. They are allowed to lead. They are allowed to educate our children and to introduce them to their abominable perversions. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord would ask America, where is my fear? And as I said before, of Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. All those people below our feet right now, languishing in hell, in torments, in pain, in regret, in sorrow, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're tormented, no sleep, day and night, forever and ever, without love, without relief, without God, because they chose the way of the flesh, the world, and the devil. They chose not to fear God, but the ones who do fear God knows that He is the one who can send a soul to hell or lift up into heaven. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So first you must know the Lord, know His will, know His word, and to know that He is against pride, violence, wickedness, evil doings. He is against the ways of the devil. And if you do not have fear before God, you will yield your members to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is coming from Proverbs 16, verse 6 and onward. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Oh, the scriptures are full of the mention of the fear of the Lord. Psalm 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. So if you still are insistent on believing this means to reverence him, or to have respect unto him, that also fits. So keep his commandments of the New Testament, walk in those ways, walk in those scriptures, and have reverence and respect unto God. And when you're in his actual presence, you will know that you will have fear before him, for he is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, and he holds the keys to death and hell, and you and I are subject unto him, whether we live or die. Isn't this enough knowledge to have fear before God? He not only tells the children of Israel to have fear before him, but he tells all the people of the world, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua 4:24. Now again, my beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to cite an Old Testament reference. We will get to the New Testament here momentarily, but let us review one thing that's very important from Malachi 1, verse 6 and onward, keeping in mind that the first covenant people were under the law of Moses, and they had the sacrificial system of animal sacrifice to make a year-by-year covering of their sin until the time of Reformation, when the Lamb of God, Jesus, comes upon the earth and dies on the cross and offers his shed blood as a once and for all atonement for all men for all sin. But in Malachi 1 verse 6 and onward, it was during a time when the children of Israel were not doing well in God's sight. They were backslidden. They were rebellious. So God uses the prophet Malachi to upbraid them and to ask them a question. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And maybe we could interject here, where is my fear, saith the Lord, to all the prosperity preachers that despise the scriptures, that despise God. But it goes on to say, Malachi 6 and onward, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And God responds, ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or accept your person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, this gets right down to the point of it. When the priests of old were to offer their sacrifices unto God, they were to be specific, without blemish, without spot, without damage. They were supposed to be supple and good and healthy. They were supposed to mean something of value to the one offering it. But no, they offered to God their polluted offerings, their sick and blind and maimed, their discarded animals, the useless animals. And they wanted that to be acceptable with God. And God was pointing out to them, you wouldn't even do this to your own governor, your own local ruler, and yet you would offer all this to the Most High God. How dare you? And in like manner, my beloved, as we live here in America, God has given us His Word, His Spirit, His angelic host, His provision, His safety, His freedom. And what have we done to Him in return? Are we not offering Him fleshly living, reprobate living, a departure from His ways? Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, has the glory of the Lord departed America? Has the glory departed the church? Is the Lord Jesus exalted? Is the Word of God lifted up? Ephesians 2 verse 7 and onward, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are to walk in faith. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to walk in good works. We are to allow the work that Jesus starts in us, a workmanship of His own self in us. And we are not to yield to the flesh, the lusts, the temptations, the worldliness. We are not called to be like this world. We are called to be separate, to come out from among them, to be light, to be salt, to be Christian, Christ-like. So let us go now to the New Testament, where the real life of the Spirit is, and receive of God's holy word the wisdom, the counsel, the prudence of knowing and obeying God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 and onward, of which most of you are very familiar with, but it bears repeating. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. When you are born again, you are justified by the Lord Jesus and also the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell inside of you, and all your former sins are washed away. Even if you were an adulterer and a fornicator like I was, there are many who are homosexuals, lesbians, doing that which is perverse, going against the natural design, abusers with themselves, thieves, covetous, drunkards, partygoers, those who extort by violence or threat for money. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, God is warning all people that people who live this kind of lifestyle, they shall not enter into heaven. They will not be redeemed unless they repent of their sins and are born again of Jesus. And we see in America today, through social media, through film, through music, through our government, through our day-to-day commerce, what are the conversations about? What are the lifestyles about? People are cussing. People are doing pornography, drinking and drugs, getting pregnant and aborting. Homosexual lifestyle is receiving favor from our government. That which is an abomination of God is being exalted by our media, by many Fortune 500 companies, by society in general. It is being exalted. They are allowing their homosexual ministers and drag queens into our public libraries, indoctrinating and grooming children, and no one stands in opposition. And what else does America do? They're covetous for money. They're thieves. They're witches and warlocks. They're Freemasons, the occult. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, our society in general, and it's bad news to say it, and most of you don't believe it or want to sweep it under the rug, but it's so pervasive that our nation has rejected God, is rejecting God, and wants none of His rule over them. They want to be free from accountability, from holiness, from the right way of living, which God has established in the Scriptures. So God would ask America, where is my fear? Where is even my respect or reverence? Has not Ichabod be written over America? The glory is departed. In the days of Eli, the Ark of the Covenant was the very symbol of the presence of God, and it was taken away. And that woman's father-in-law and husband also taken away, and her hope of Yisrael of the Ark taken away by the enemy. She had nothing left to live for. She bowed over in pain. Her contractions came quickly. She had her child and didn't want to live, for there was no more spirit within her, because all the glory had departed. As we see the judgment of God coming upon our nation right now, famine, high prices, complete dismay and confusion in our government, our foreign enemies are amassing to destroy us, and we're worried about pronouns, he and her and them. We're worried about properly addressing transgendered people, homosexual people, giving them special status over every other citizen. That which God abhors is being exalted in America. And God wants us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, as recorded in Galatians 5:17 and onward. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But now the works of the flesh can be identified. They are manifest, which are these. Again, we'll go over it. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So why, my beloved brothers and sisters, do I bring up the fear of the Lord, and that Ichabod is written over America? Is it not because heaven and hell and eternity stand in the balance for every soul of man, woman, and child? All living people will have one place or another to go to. What will you do with the time God has given you, the knowledge, the will of God, the word of God. What will we do when we are called to account of our lives? The millions who are in hell cannot escape. Their judgment is fixed. No deliverance, no hope of glory, no hope of salvation. Whether they were rich, famous, or a common man, all who rejected God are in hell. He is the potter. We are the clay. We cannot answer back to him. We must conform and be a part of him or be a part of Lucifer's troop, one way or the other. God calls each of us to decide who you will serve, who you will be like, what spirit will you follow, the holy God of Israel, the good God, the almighty God, the holy, pure, and true God, a God of justice, or will you follow the fallen angel that was cast out of heaven? To follow him, the world and the desires of the flesh, leads to darkness, to ruination, to separation of God, to be confined to torment in the fires of hell and the lake of fire forever and ever. And God gives you free will to choose who you will follow, who you will choose to live after. Either you will walk in the Spirit and pleasing God, or you will please yourself, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Think hard on all these things, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let not the glory of God depart out of your life. America is almost finished. The vote will not bring morality back to the people, will not bring the oracles of God to the hearts of men. But while we are still able, let us pray for the complete overturning, for the complete abolishing of abortion in our country. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the first step of Roe v. Wade being defeated, being overturned. But abortion is still legal in whichever state so decides. There is still access to kill babies on the soil of America, to shed innocent blood, to bring a curse upon our land, to bring the wrath of God upon our land. Heavenly Father, move upon the hearts of the state capitals, the state legislatures, the state congress, the governors, the mayors, so that they may know that the killing of babies in the womb is murder. It's an abomination. It's a perversion to offer up the blood of babies to Molech. Dear God, speak to the hearts of our leaders and breathe upon them the knowledge that they face an angry God who will bring judgment upon their wicked sacrifices and their wicked murders. Hear the word of the Lord, my beloved brothers and sisters. Learn the fear of God. Let not the glory of God depart out of your heart. America, God would ask you, where is his fear? Where is his reverence? Where is the respect unto the Holy One of Israel, who holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave, who is able to lift you up into heaven or to cast you down into hell, where the worm dies not and the fire is never quenched? Think hard on all these things, my beloved, and mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
You are my hiding place.
Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for joining me today in the broadcast. If you would like more information about the ministry, you may go to www.expounderministries.com, and there you can find a weekly sermon, many of my past Radio Bible teaching programs, my books, and my recordings of the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And remember, God sent his Son that you may live. Believe on him. Hallelujah. God bless you. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.